brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to be talking to Dr. Steve Pachinik. We're going to be breaking down talk of him being the running mate of the Republican presumptive nominee, Mitt Romney. We're also going to get into the stage Bin Laden supposed killing. That is all coming up. Right now, let's take a few calls in this short little segment. Let's go to Karen in Arizona.
Hi, Alex. I would like to let you know about an environmental and sustainability summit coming to Prescott on the 16th and 17th of August.
And they should call it land-grabbing enslavement conference or turning Prescott into a giant control freak prison. Being henpecked by bureaucrats, but I guess they're not calling it that.
It's by Arizona Manufacturing Council and Arizona Businesses Advancing Sustainability, and if we can get as many InfoWarriors from Arizona to come to this conference, the main conference is going to be on the 17th. And isn't it interesting, the ADEQ is Henry Sutherland. Isn't that a similarity of interesting of names? The panelists, Henry Darwin and Cabrera, Massey, Adina Stone. But is there a chance that we can get a call out to many of the InfoWarriors to come? And
yes, I mean, people who love liberty should constantly be watching everything in their area and going out and confronting globalists at every event they can. And they'll run like the roaches they are. Thank you for the call. Again, we're going to break here in a moment. Dr. Steve Pachinik coming up with huge news after this break. We've got him on hold because some stations don't carry this segment, and I don't want anybody to miss the info. Let's talk to Rob in Washington. Rob, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Alex, I just want to say God bless you. I know you don't like to hear all that stuff, but, hey, man, I love you to death anyways. But I just wanted to bring up the Obamacare makes RFID chips mandatory March 23rd, 2013.
Well, what it says is it'll make insurance pay for it.
Okay.
And they're putting chips in the pills now and a bunch of stuff. But it does move into government-run medicalized tyranny. It does have these panels, these death panels. They admit they're not, you're above 65. You don't get eye surgery. I mean, it's the hellish system they have in Canada, the hellish system they have in England.
Well, from what I read on this discussion, or like the breakdown of it being a class 2 device, that they're talking about implanting that microchip in people. And I'm thinking the Mark of the Beast, Revelations.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, there are moves everywhere to make Alzheimer's patients, prisoners, you name it, take them. People, we were at a swim meet with our children a month ago, and some father's like, yeah, I guarantee you when they come out with chips, I'm putting them in my daughter. I don't want to have to watch her, as if that's going to make you safe. All of this stuff has back doors built into it for tyranny.
Well, I'm just wondering how they're going to try to force you to take it because, biblically it says that if you take the mark, you're separating yourself from God. I know this isn't a Christian show all the way, but, my concerns are
What do you mean it's not a Christian show? I appreciate your call, sir. Listen. It isn't about whether it's a Christian show. Most of the shows you hear on the radio that are on religious stations are worshiping world government, worshiping tyranny, Romans 13, Hitler's favorite Bible verse, do what the government says, all of this stuff, the founding fathers are bad type stuff, okay? This is a radio analysis, commentary, rant, guest transmission. So it's not like you can't call in and read Bible verses if you don't want to. But then it hits a stickler with me when people are like, ooh, I mentioned a Bible thing. Ooh, that's not okay. Because that's not what we're talking about here. Dr. Steve Pachinik coming up. Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. You've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The KTOR hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, 3rd edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. TheraSafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, for the balance of the hour, the next 52 minutes, Dr. Steve Pachinik, MD, PhD, is going to be our guest. He was the head of psychological operations for the State Department, advised the Pentagon, has been involved. We'll just look up his name and takedowns of governments all over the world, you name it, but not with armies, with psychological warfare. He's an expert in false flags. He's exposed on this broadcast 9/11 is a false flag and other events. He said that the shooting in Norway was not an inside job. I don't know his take on the new shootings, and I wanted to get him on because he said like over a year ago, he said on this show, you all heard it, that he thought Petraeus would be in the running for vice president. And I've always found Drudge and his sources. Drudge doesn't go with something when Drudge writes an article maybe once every 2 weeks or something. Or his sources there in D.C., some of which I've met with and know, they don't go with something unless they've got it from the highest levels. And their word is Obama was concerned that Petraeus may be picked as the VP, that would be a strong VP pick to Roman Romney. Petraeus just said that's not the case, but they always say that. But Dr. Steve Pachinik, showing his inside knowledge, was saying that a year ago here, just like he said they had Bin Laden on ice and would stage his death, announce his death later as a stunt. He broke down how that was a fraud. Now they're running TV ads, have a movie coming out about it. We'll get his take on that coming up later as well. But he separately, I believe, because he's talked to the producer, I haven't talked to him yet, said he wanted to get into the shooters, which I see this as a October surprise, because I saw the pre-scripting by Homeland Security saying it isn't Al-Qaeda now, it's going to be right-wing groups. And then you have Air Force psychiatrist over him, and you have a sheep-dipped Army Black Ops, PsyOps guy, because half the people in white supremacist groups are feds. The feds lead them, like Hal Turner. But I don't even know Dr. Pachanik's take on that. We'll find out here on air together. I just respect his view. He's also a best-selling author, co-wrote books with Tom Clancy as his expert, NetForce, OpsCenter, you name it, trained in psychiatry. I think the only guy to have a degree at the same time. He got Harvard University in International Relations at MIT. So he's also a doctor and a PhD. His novels are based on over 20 years' experience resolving international crises and hostage situations for the Department of State or four administrations. So he's a super insider, and he's very, you know, humble, like most big insiders are. But he has incredible courage to come on and say 9/11 is an inside job. Now I'm going to try to sit back and shut up because I am obnoxious and let him start with wherever he wants to start, the shooters, Petraeus, coming up, his recap of the bin Laden fable. Dr. Pachanik, great to have you with us.
It's always a pleasure, Alex. I think Obama and I can agree on one thing. Bin Laden's death, whether I said it was going to happen 10 years later or it happened, he's dead. So let's finish with that for a moment, and we'll lead to the other issue of false flag, which it's not in the Middle East. The Middle East war now that we have is not a false flag. It's a real war that's going on covert operations. And by the way, I will lead into the man who's leading that covert operation. He's a very brave man, and that's Petraeus. I've always had a great admiration for him since he was a major general, and I picked off his modus operandi, where he's very creative, he's very proactive, he's a man who, like many of our senior military officials, he has a PhD and a master's degree. There are others, Keith Alexander, McAllister, all of whom have been trained and have other degrees beyond being warriors. And I think what's important now is to understand that Petraeus, as I said a year ago, would make a great president. I would make an excellent vice president. But quite frankly, my take is that as much as I would respect Drudge or any other report, I don't think Petraeus would come out right now. We do need him in a major war that is going on that is not a false flag, that is not a stand down, and that is the civil war that's going on in Syria, which is being handled quite quietly and, I must admit, effectively by this administration, because you have several professionals. Number one, Petraeus himself, who's running a covert operation. It's involving our own CIA and other units coming out of Israel, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, and then you have Iran and Russia and other elements involved in a counterforce. And what's really going on in the Middle East now, and it's interesting that neither Romney nor Obama have talked about it, is that we do have a real war going on. Stand down. This is not an attempt by anybody to suppress information. It's simply that no one's talked about the substance.
But isn't it a proxy war, Doctor?
It is a proxy war. That's why General Petraeus now is important to maintaining that proxy war in terms of what it means. It doesn't mean proxy. The Saudis are funding al-Qaeda and Salafists. Salafists are extreme Islamic fundamentalists who actually are fighting against the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and, in fact, against the Syrians. Now, my own history with Syria is that it's not been a very hopeful history, but nevertheless, I will tell you what happened. I worked against Hafez Assad, and I was part of a team that was effective in being able to bring him to a point in position during the Lebanese Civil War.
That's right. You know him. That's on record. Tell folks about that.
Well, what happened is Hafez Assad was continuously creating explosions and disruptions in the Middle East. When we needed some cooperation, he eventually came to terms about 20, 30 years ago under the Reagan administration, and I give credit to the Secretary of State Schultz and others who were involved in bringing Syria, as well as the Israelis, brought Syria, the United States, Israel, and Syria came together and effectively agreed quietly that Syria would be in charge of Lebanon and control the PLO, PFLP, and Hezbollah. And in return, Israel would pull back and not be concerned about terrorist activities. And that was going on for 20 to 30 years up till now, where it's, Syria has been an effective surrogate in terms of maintaining peace and order. Their only interest in Lebanon was really the banking system. It was nothing else. Now, Syria is not a democracy, nor is any other country in the Middle East, except perhaps for Israel, which is, again, quite questionable given the ultra-Orthodox status of Bibi's government at this point. But the point of fact is neither Egypt, Qatar, Dubai, Saudi Arabia are democratic institutions. They are autocratic. They are theological. And what is happening now is we have a major, major war going on. I was just in Turkey and interviewing Syrians, Iranians, Turks, Kurds. And what's happening, despite the good efforts of the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and two very experienced professionals in the State Department, Nicholas Burns and Mark Grossman, who's particularly an expert in Turkey and knows it very well. He was our ambassador there. There is a major proxy war that will divide Syria into the northern part, either Kurds or northern Turkey. The southern part will be part of Lebanon. The eastern part goes into various elements of Iraq. And what we have is an ongoing civil war, full-fledged. The Israelis are now, for the first time, in real trouble since they've been in 1948, where three different borders, the northern border, and Lebanon is exposed because Hezbollah is a proxy for Iran. On the eastern border, you have Salafist or Al-Qaeda units coming into Jordan. And on the southern border, as many of you know and your audience, you have the Egyptian military now fighting Al-Qaeda and Salafist units at Saudi Arabia. So Israel, for the first time, is confronting three borders of enemies and has to decide what kind of a war it will implement and what kind of covert actions they will get involved with. Right now, they are supporting the Saudi Arabians and the Salafists in Syria, but that can switch very quickly against Israel. Now you have Hamas fighting the actual Salafists and the Egyptians. President or vice president. At present, we need Petraeus more than we ever needed him before. So from the point of view of Romney, I think it would be a great choice. I think Portman would be a great choice for Romney, too. But the point of fact is right now we need him in this administration. With all due respect to Drudge and the president, I think the president has selected very well the key man who has to be able to run a covert operation alongside Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Brannon in the White House. So we have a lot of professionals in the field running a very quiet war where, honestly, neither the President Obama nor Romney has discussed this war, nor has it been brought up in the campaign. And I think your audience, the American audience, should be aware of what's happening.
Sure, they've got Russian forces in there. You've got Iranian Hezbollah forces all clashing. But then Al-Qaeda, which even the CFR has been putting articles out praising what great fighters they are against Assad. And again, I know that you tried to stop the Assad Sr. and his regime blowing stuff up a few decades ago. But, I mean, why is the West helping get the Arab Spring going and then putting jihadis in all these countries? Because aren't they, in the final equation, going to be worse than Assad? Or will they later say, now we've got to invade again because Al-Qaeda or jihadi types out of Saudi Arabia are going to take over and try to cleanse Muslim groups and Christian groups and others?
Well, Alex, this is where you and I often come together, and that's my personal point of view after leaving Turkey and interviewing and realizing what the situation is. And I will add a footnote. Not only was I against Hafez Assad, but I was in Syria several years ago as a, quote, tourist. But I was interrogated by Bashar Assad and his people for 6-7 hours. So I don't have any personal affection for them, but I do have a respect professionally for Bashar Assad and the fact that he is protecting right now the Christians, the Alawites, who are really a variation of Christianity, contrary to what most people think. In 1923, the French created the Alawites as, quote, an offshoot of Muslims. He's also protecting the Druze, the Jews. And it's a very serious intelligence security apparatus that he's maintaining. And you're absolutely correct. My personal point of view is that we have once again allied ourselves with the real problem here, and that is Al-Qaeda. I'm not a fan of Al-Qaeda. I never was a fan. I said 30 years ago we created it.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Pashinik, we've got to go to break. Stop there. When we come back, start back over 30 years ago when you warned the State Department and CIA not to work with Al-Qaeda. We'll be right back. Alex Jones here with a very important announcement for Truth Seekers. We've carried a lot of amazing films and books over the years on the online video bookstore at InfoWars.com. And out of all the titles we've carried, one stands out because it is just so chillingly convincing. And that's Dreams from My Real Father by Joel Gilbert, available at InfoWars.com. This film exposes the fraud that Obama is like nothing I've seen. If you want to know who Obama's real daddy is, this is the film for you. Don't forget, your purchase supports our broadcast and our growing media network. You'll also find at InfoWarsShop.com, None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen, the book that woke me up. We're also carrying Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, by Rosa Corey. This book is coffin nails to the globalist takeover. The Greater Good, the most professional and up-to-date film I've ever seen, exposing the scourge that is vaccines. These titles and a lot more are all available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com, sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, foodstore.com, or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
The man who predicted the fall of communism is now predicting the fall of capitalism. He's dined with the Rockefellers, hung out with the Clintons, banged heads with the Beltway, and inspired companies, movements, and empires that have brought forth revolutionary change. He sat shoulder to shoulder with figures like George Bush Sr., Steve Forbes, Margaret Thatcher, and Boris Yeltsin, to name but a few. And his volume of work set out his groundbreaking financial newsletter, Strategic Investment, was so far ahead of its time, it helped transform not just the fates and fortunes of thousands of investors, but also the fates and fortunes of entire nations. For the first time in 17 years, he's back once again with his first controversial video presentation. Go to fallofcapitalism.com to watch him reveal a landmark development, which he believes will set off the most violent economic reversal in history, one that carries the power to bring down the entire capitalist system. Go to fallofcapitalism.com to watch his controversial video before the powers that be wipe it from the internet. Again, it's www.fallofcapitalism.com.
Our guest right now, we got Webster Tarpley, who's recently traveled over to Syria on the invite of the Assad regime to assess it himself, joining us. He was also in Libya during the NATO bombardment to kick out their old asset, Gaddafi, and now it has come out, what Tarpley said over a year ago, that Nicolas Sarkozy was on the payroll of Gaddafi. That's why Gaddafi cozied up to the West and actually financed his election with the money. So he's now basically been raided and is quasi hiding out, may go on the run. Here's the issue. We know they want to take out Syria before they go into Iran so that Syria can't attack through Lebanon with Hezbollah. We know Israel in 2007 basically got beaten by the anti-tank weapons, but those weapons are still in place. And so I see the big mega banks that are imploding the world economy right now wanting a big war. And that may be why they're pushing through, even though most of the Israeli intelligence and others have said, don't do this. Dr. Pashinik, looking at just the wide picture in layman's terms, because you've been involved at all levels of this over the last few decades, and we left off, Doc, with you saying 30 years ago you didn't want to work with al-Qaeda. I mean, I understand the elements of the West want to take out the mullahs in Iran, but, I mean, Saudi Arabia and al-Qaeda, why give the whole Middle East over to al-Qaeda?
Well, the issue here is really we don't have, with all due respect to what you're saying, for over 20 to 30 years, the issue of the Middle East is not about Israel. General Petraeus said it very succinctly and very well several years ago when he said Israel is a strategic liability. That was not an anti-Semitic statement. That was a very clear strategic statement. The real issue in the Middle East has been over 20 to 30 years, and I've been involved with the Iranians, against the Iranians, with them. The real issue has been Sunni versus Shiite. And what you're seeing now in Syria is the expansion of Iran going into Syria and basically stating today that this is a world war where we, the Shiites, want to dominate the Middle East and we will fight against the Sunni. What happened is the CIA, rightfully, wrongfully, 20, 30 years ago, and I agreed with what they did initially, was to use al-Qaeda, although I warned them of the blowback, to fight the Afghanis and the Russians. And we successfully got rid of the Soviets during the period of Jimmy Carter and then Reagan. And that was successful. The problem is that every successful operation, you create your own destruction years later, and it's untoward consequences. We don't often recognize it. With all due respect to the CIA and intelligence bureaus, we had a blowback, and the blowback is that al-Qaeda came back, the very people who we armed in Pakistan and the Taliban came back to fight us. Now we're in a world where there's not just good guys and bad guys. We have the better of the worst. We're talking about entities now that we don't really have national security interests other than saying we're going to have proxies fighting for us. Right now, our interest in the Middle East is minimal. We don't want to put soldiers on the ground, nor should we. The American public is tired. That's why I want both Obama and Romney to discuss this issue, not in terms of war with Iran and nuclear proliferation or Israel versus Iran, but really what is our national security interest in the Middle East? We have proxies. We have a very good ally in Turkey. We have a good ally in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Dubai. The issue then becomes, in those allies fighting Syria, do we have a national security interest? The answer is not really. Our national security interest is shifted correctly, as Hillary Clinton said, to the Pacific Ocean, where we do have an expansive China, which is economically threatening us at many different levels, and they have a potential coup. I don't want to get everybody confused right now, but what happened in that murder case had nothing to do with banking, and nor did the Middle East. The Middle East is strictly a war between Shiites and Sunnis. At this particular point in time, we've taken the Sunni position. My suspicion is within time, due to diplomacy and covert operations, we will probably work with both sides, Shiite and Sunni. The problem will be for Israel to decide how it can maintain its viability in a world where it no longer becomes a prominent power. Going to war, nuclear war, is not an issue for them. They can't sustain it. They're not able to do that. They have been defeated. So the question then becomes, from a body politic point of view, what can Israel do versus their northern border, their eastern border, and their southern border? We have a very good ally right now in Egypt. The military there has been very effective. But the notion that's being propagated, not on your show, but in the media, on CNN and elsewhere, that these fighters are fighting for democracy is absurd. You have autocratic regimes throughout the entire Middle East. The question becomes again and again, what is the United States basic interest.
All right, Doc.
The bankers are not interested in this war.
All right, long segment.
Not making a penny from it.
Sure, long segment coming up. We'll be able to break all this down and where you see it going.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For more than 6 years, I've talked on the air about creating a social network. PlanetInfoWars.com is in its beta phase. We're just launching it, and I want to invite all of you out there to be in on the ground level. Planet InfoWars is about people coming together, forming activist organizations, getting involved politically, hunting and fishing, gardening, dating. This is a place for people who love freedom to meet and to talk and to write and to post information. And I give you this pledge. We are not going to spy on you and sell your data to the New World Order. PlanetInfoWars.com is free, so people who love freedom can get together, connect with people who are awake and know what we're facing. Be active. Organize. Take action. Go viral. Create. Contribute. Resist. Because resistance is victory. You are victory. It's waiting for you to breathe power into it. PlanetInfoWars.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Chaos is hanging around, but you're here to the ground. You shut it from the sound. The death machine makes falling.
If you go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, it's linked in red. Full Spectrum Evil, the secrets of global domination, how the banksters that we were just leaving off with like to finance both sides because then they get the countries in debt. The bombed out nations can be bought up very, very easily with fiat currency. And Dr. Steve Pachinik joining us. Also has a website which you can check out, stevepachinik.com. I believe I'm going from memory there. We'll also put it up on screen for people. And he's talking about the different geopolitical angles of this. Doc, in layman's terms, because you've been to all these places, you just got back from Turkey, you've infiltrated governments, you've helped engineer, you know, the famous Camp David peace accords. I mean, you've been at the highest levels of all this. You understand all the factions. Where does this lead? I mean, if it isn't in our, quote, interest, and you're saying the banksters don't even want this, then why is Israel accelerating war, even when the former Mossad chief and top generals and our own, you know, joint chiefs say don't do it? Why, then, do we see the media pushing for it? Where is the world going? I mean, give us a basic briefing from your considerable understanding.
Well, the world is going at a faster pace, if you're right, Alex, but I'm not as concerned about America falling apart, quite frankly. I'm much more optimistic as to where we are in terms of the country. We're entrepreneurial. We're exceedingly effective at creating new businesses. So I'm more optimistic than I've ever been. And believe me, I'm not that kind of, an optimistic guy in general. But the bottom line is very simple. The Middle East now is breaking out because time in the Arab Spring really started out with Tunisia. No one expected it. It moved very quickly to Egypt, then it moved to Libya, and then it moved to Syria. Syria is the fighting ground where the Iran basically said, we Shiites, we're a minority, but we want to be the majority. We'll fight Saudi Arabia, which controls the oil, and we want to be the predominant power. Caught in between all of this, it's Israel, which says, in effect, oh, my God, we've played with both sides. Israel has been with Iran during the 89 war. Israeli pilots flew against Iraqi pilots, which we really flew for. So the war in 89 between Iraq and Iran was really instigated by the United States and Israel to deplete the forces of both Iran and Iraq. Our national security interest at that time was to deplete Iraqi forces. We then went in. Mistakenly, thanks to Cheney, who called this president the worst president of the United States, he has the gall to do that. It's one of the worst vice presidents in the history of our country. He went to war and lied and sent troops in. And now we are paying the price of having created a disturbance in Iraq, which is now falling apart, where we put Shiites in charge. And the Sunnis, which were a minority, I don't want to get confused, are fighting in Syria to take over Syria, and then they will fight, come back to Iraq, and reinstigate another war. So basically, our national security interests, from the point of view, what do we have vested in the Middle East? At this point, honestly, the best thing we can do is to get out of there because it's not to our interest. It's a war between the Shiites and the Sunnis. The major interest that's here is an issue of Christianity. I'm concerned, and I've said it repeatedly to the Coptic Christians in Egypt and the United States, that you are in danger of having Sharia. You are in danger of being killed. It's an original Christian sect. And the same issue for me is in Syria, where Bashar Assad is literally, and so are the Soviets, the Russians, are protecting the Christians. They're in the millions. So the issue of Christianity is becoming paramount, and no one is discussing it. And I'm quite frankly tired of keeping on saying Christianity is a problem here, and we do have an interest in maintaining the viability of the Christians in Syria and in Egypt. We can do that by supporting Assad. Unfortunately, we don't have a choice as to democracy or non-democracy, and quite frankly, Russia, who I worked against, is also protecting the Christians. From my point of view, the Christian viability is far more important to our national interest than any financial interest. There are no bankers who are interested in this. But let me just say, the Soviets, quite frankly, are owed $10 billion now by Syria, and Syria is not paying them for the armament. So Russia is going into debt and being tied down in the Mediterranean, which from a strategic point of view, I'm very happy. But I'm also pleased that at least Putin is willing to protect the Christians. Israel cannot at this point.
And I know you famously worked against the Russians. I mean, to get it.
That's correct. All of my enemies have become somewhat of a national security interest to me. Now, I was interrogated by Bashar Assad for 5-6 hours, but I saw the effectiveness he had in protecting minorities.
So well, that's right. I read that he had you arrested, didn't he?
That's correct. Yeah, he did for 6 hours, and then he asked me how we could do business together. But the point of fact is that even when you're arrested and you spend time, and I was willing to go there on my own, and I knew what the consequences were, you know, this is not an issue of a government. This is an issue of my personal choice. I made the choice. I knew what the consequences were. Well, quite frankly, I had a very good relationship with the Assad regime, even after they knew who I was. My point here right now is that we, the leaders of our country, have to address these issues in a sober, systematic way because of...
No, I understand, but the media, Doc, is just hyping war, war, war. So break it down in layman's terms, but in
layman's terms, you've got... Look, I can't control the media. The New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, you know, they're looking for the sensationalism. The real issue in layman's terms is this is a war between Shiites and Sunnis that's been there for generations. It's being reflected right now in Syria with a lot of proxies, Turkey, Russia, Syria, Alawites, Christians, very few Jews, Sunnis, Salafists who are extremists, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, all of which are proxies to our national interests other than the religious viability. No bankers are making money out of this.
Okay, but let's back this up then. I understand there's a bunch of, you know, different groups, and the West is siding with Saudi Arabia, and I've always known Saudi Arabia is a lot more powerful force than the media, you know, ever points out, because it is so powerful, because its money has been invested everywhere, and it's just unbelievably corrupt and out of control, but we're supposed to ignore all that. But pulling back then, knowing the area, you know, unlike, you know, many people even in your field, how did the whole Arab Spring start? Where is it going? Why did Anderson Cooper and other people, talk about how great it was, what's happening in Egypt as they, you know, persecute Christians and Jews and people? I mean, how did our government get to the point of publicly throwing its lot in with jihadis and al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, that's a very good question. Number one, let me tell you, in 1973, I was first taught at MIT about a phenomenon called the Internet and social media. So the notion that Zuckerberg created social media that was, you know, suddenly was created, that's false. It was done by DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and the CIA back in 1973. Tunisia was the first spontaneous Arab Spring, where they went against the corrupt authoritarian regime, and there was the beginning of the Arab Spring. Our intelligence community sustained another Arab Spring, rightfully or wrongfully, in Egypt to take out Mubarak. The issue of corruption with Mubarak was very serious, and also it was serious vis-a-vis not the Islamic Brotherhood, but really the military, and whether the military would tolerate Mubarak's son's corruption. And that was an issue for a long time. We never discussed that. But I was involved in putting Mubarak there after Sadat. So we knew exactly how effective Mubarak would be. From that point on, several important intelligence operatives were arrested for things that they felt was important to democracy. But in a world where you can't choose good guys and bad guys, you sometimes have to choose the lesser evil of the two. And in case of Syria, that may be Assad, for reasons that I don't agree with, but I understand we've chosen to go with the Sunni. So the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, believe me, is nothing compared, and this is very complicated, but I have to explain it. The Muslim Brotherhood or the Islamic Brotherhood is nothing compared to what Saudi Arabia produces. And you're right, Alex. The core of the problem here, the center of gravity, is really Saudi Arabia. It has always been a problem. The Saudis do not have really a nation state. It is a feudal, it is a corrupt entity with many princes which don't exist in Islam, where they use the notion that they are protectors of Mecca and Medina as a false ideology to maintain a group of fighters called Salafis or Islamic extremists. We used them. They were expedient at that time. Whether we need to use them now? No. But they're being used right now. And those who are involved with it know that there will be a blowback from this, because those Salafists who are fighting in Syria, supported by Saudi Arabia and Qatar, will eventually go back to Iraq, which is a Shia country controlled now, and create more problems. Why we do certain things? We do it because we have certain leaders and we have certain controls or non-controls, but we don't have an open discussion as we should have in the body politic. This may be the first discussion I have ever heard. Why Anderson Cooper talks about this? Number one, I mean, you have to enjoy Anderson Cooper. He's a very narcissistic, I think very infantile individual who really served at the CIA as an internship. So his agenda is not exactly to give you the news. It is to propagate certain elements of the CIA notion that we were fighting for freedom. We're not fighting for freedom. We were changing regimes. It's a sloppy way to do it. I don't agree with it. I've been in the business of regime change. We don't need all these operatives. We don't need the military. But the important point to understand now is we're now in a different scenario where we are in a business of choosing the better of the worst. And right now, I'm a little bit more optimistic than I was before. This is not a conspiracy. This is not the bankers of the world. This is not a Zionist conspiracy. There are real issues that have to be dealt with. The president, I think, is doing as well as he can. He's not getting credit for it because simply he hasn't discussed it. And in turn, you have Brannon, who's in the White House, doing everything he can on counterterrorism. You have Petraeus in the CIA, exceedingly effective general who understands the limitations of the CIA. Remember, it's not a monolithic entity, as well as working with military intelligence. I don't want to get into components. And trying to avoid bringing in our soldiers into an area where we can no longer fight or want to fight. So we're limited by our full expansion of power. At the same time, Obama and Hillary Clinton correctly said we're shifting our balance to Pacific. That means Vietnam, Indonesia, Cambodia, which I was involved in, and trying to limit and contain the expansion of China, which is an economic threat to us because of their ability to lower their prices and be able to economically dominate the world where we can't compete.
Well, let me ask you this question then. I want to pull back to the larger geopolitical field here. In your gut, what do you expect to happen now with the Iran attack, with these proxy wars, with the encirclement of China, with all the power machinations that are going on over there? Because you know, people email me, they call in and they say, Alex, why are you supporting Russia and Assad? I'm not. It's a country sitting there that it has not been in an aggressive stance for a long time. And then now they're going to put a bunch of jihadis in there. They're going to kill all the Christians and Jews. And I am against these aggressive wars. I mean, it's a very simple thing of, you know, not supporting aggressive wars. But all these other countries think in proxies and what they can get in subterfuge. So I get the point of then our system becomes subterfuge. But when you dance with the devil doesn't change, you change. And I see our Bill of Rights and Constitution going out the door. I see Homeland Security setting up checkpoints everywhere. I see them openly preparing the Secretary of the Army for troops in America. Dr. Pachinik, what are they getting ready for?
I don't think we're getting ready for anything, quite frankly, Alex. With all due respect to your analysis, I think it's correct in one way. I think Assad in Syria is going to be handled by our regional allies. And what I mean by that is we have a very good man in Mark Grossman in Petraeus. I can't emphasize that enough because the feet on the ground now is not a soldier, it's a diplomat. And that diplomat in particular, Grossman, knows Turkey extremely well. Turkey is our closest ally, and Turkey will be our proxy to negotiate a peace that will entail using Russia. Erdogan is very good in dealing with Putin, and maintaining the peace over Syria. If it fractionates, it'll fractionate along Alawite and Kurdish, but Turkey has to be careful of Kurds. At the same time, Saudi Arabia will have to pull back, as well as Iran will pull back, and the United States will maintain the balance between the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Russians, and this is where I find we're far better positioned than anybody thinks. Having said that, all I wanted to have is to make sure that people understand this is not a false flag. This is not alliance with a devil that you don't understand. It is a world that we are now getting into a reality of balance of power, which has always been an issue. The issue has always been who is in strategic balance and who will predominate in the Middle East. Right now it's between Shiite and Sunni. We are leaving the Middle East. We don't have that financial instrument. By the way, Saudi Arabia no longer produces our oil.
Okay, then why did the West stage 9/11 and go in to the Middle East and suddenly...
Well, you have to thank Mr. Cheney for that, the man who accused our present president of being the worst president of the United States. I have said for 20 years that Cheney should have been in prison. I have repeatedly said, I've known Cheney. me since we worked together in the Nixon administration. He's a despicable man. He's a man who should have been arrested. He has violated the Constitution. He refused to serve on our war.
No, I understand. Let me ask you this from your research.
My point is, one man brought us to war, and now one man criticizes this president and then emphasizes our need to go to further war. It's beyond despicable. And that man should have been held accountable. That nonsense about a heart transplant, that was done by Dr. Fritz a long time before he announced it, when he announced it. The man lies. He's a pathological liar. He's an alcoholic. And what I'm saying is an individual can bring you to war when there's no need for war, but he's never been held accountable. And that's where America has to come to reality.
Well, Doc, let me ask you this, because I want to, you know, at the end here, coming back from break. In fact, let's just skip this break right now. We're going to skip this network break right now, so we have 10 minutes left with Dr. Pechenik here. We're going to be technical 9 minutes. Break down from your research why you said day one, as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations at the time, and still with a lot of courage, that it was an inside job on my show 10 years ago, or almost 10 years ago, why you broke down the fact that bin Laden was already dead, which the evidence shows. Why you...
I said it because I was trying to warn the American public that we would go to war in Iraq, and the reasons for the war were deceptive, were lies, and that they was created by Cheney and Bush Jr. and by Rumsfeld and others who were involved, Hadley, who was his chief of staff, and others who were the...
Sure, here's my next question. I've never asked you this. From your research, knowing how this stuff works, how did they pull off something that big? I mean, I understand you don't know the full operation. You just know they did
it. I know the full operation because I taught it at the National War College.
Okay, teach us then. What did they do on 9/11?
What they did on 9/11, I don't want to go back into it, but basically they realigned everything that we had in FEMA. They had everything that in terms of the FAA. We don't have to go into specifics. I can give you the logistics. You're going to have to look at the Air Force, who was in charge of the Air Force, what the false flags were, who were the generals at the time. This is not what we have right now. What we have is exceedingly responsible generals.
No, I understand, but people need to know historically.
No, people have to understand that if they want to go back and spend that time now, we're losing time to really understand where we're heading in much faster time, Alex. That's what I'm
saying. I know, but they used 9/11 to have the military-industrial complex start setting up a police state here. We need to kill the myth of 9/11, not just to get us out of Iraq, but to get the TSA out of my pants.
If you want to kill the myth of 9/11, then bring Cheney and Bush Jr. before a trial and jury and a prosecutor.
Doc, here's the thing. I want to take my kids. I want to be able to take my kids to Disney World without a fat pedophile abusing them. Okay,
no,
so
nobody's going to look. Let me tell you. Let's get it clear. The feds have been doing their job. And they've been doing it very effectively. What happened recently with the killer who has been accused of, where we went into the Sikhs and it was said that he was trained by the Army to be a killer, it's nonsense. The Army didn't train Mr. Page to be a killer. The Army had him in, he was in there, he was a neo-Nazi. The feds, the FBI in particular, have been exceedingly good at breaking up neo-Nazis. Exceedingly good. However, thanks to 9/11 and Cheney in particular and Michael Hayden, General Hayden, who monitored everybody during 9/11, the FBI had to pull back. Mueller's a very, very responsible director.
Sure, what I'm saying is I'm sick of the TSA and the checkpoints. We have to kill the myth of 9/11 briefly.
I have no problem with the TSA being disbanded and Homeland Security.
No, I know, but here's the deal then. Briefly, I mean, obviously, yes, Cheney took the power for NORAD to do shoot downs the month before, gave it back after 9/11. They had drills of the targets being hit, so that's how, I mean, we know about the stand down, but basically, from what I know, correct me if I'm wrong, the hijackers were doing drills of infiltrating airports and getting on board for the Department of Defense and CIA. They were set up. Nerve gas was released on the aircraft because the people said there's smoke, we can't breathe. Then remote control flew them into the buildings.
Let's get back to the issue. Do we need the TSA? No. I've had problems with them. They rip off the luggage. You've had the lowest level quality employees coming in. They literally ripped off and stole a class 3 drug that I had, which was a sleeping pill. You have the worst of the worst being brought in thanks to Chertoff, thanks to the neocons and Bush.
Yeah, they robbed me. They stole a
bit. Alex, I want your audience to address that issue.
Yes.
Secondly, do we need them? No. Is that an issue for us? No. security an issue? Yes, but it has to be balanced by the liberties. That's why the FBI has been very responsible on this issue. The TSA is a totally useless organization, which should have been thrown out years ago, and it was set up by the neocons. We don't have a TSA in Europe or Turkey, where I had a lot of Muslims and a lot of potential problems, and they don't have that. So what I'm saying to you, let's address the present issues, but let's go on to, let us give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. The FBI has done an incredible job on domestic issues of terrorism without suppression of liberty, on issues of neo-Nazis, domestic terrorism, and other concerns. If they wanted to suppress our liberties, believe me, they don't have that capability. The internal spanning or electronic eavesdropping that we had came directly from the NSA under General Michael Hayden. He's never been brought forth because he has been brought in on I think Mr. Romney has him, unfortunately, as part of the neocon group. But the issue is no one has been held accountable for 9/11, the same way in the banking system, nobody's gone to prison. Now, the reason I go on your show is very simple. I don't need to promote what I have or read my books. As you know, I'm not interested really talking about myself. What I'm interested in saying is, America, wake up. We're not as bad as we think, and we're not as great as we would like to be. We do have to have responsible representation. The issue of a president is that domestically, most presidents don't have as much power as that people think domestically. The only time a president of the United States has power is internationally. They go to war. That's why Bush Jr. went to war. Cheney went to war, and they created a false flag. And Rumsfeld said it very clearly. If you blame us Republicans for this false flag, then you blame Franklin Roosevelt. Wolfowitz was a father of this plan because he studied stand down under in the University of Chicago. Richard Perle, Zalmay Khalilzad. The list is endless.
Sure, they were under Lemnitzer. They were under Lemnitzer.
Well, they're not only on the limits, so they were trained by Wolfstetter in Chicago when I was at MIT. We knew about this. This is not this is not unknown. Stand down and false flag was created under Roosevelt. It was created under LBJ. It's not a privilege to any one administration.
I know, yeah.
Republicans and Democrats have had it. My point now, Alex, is we can work on the past, but we deal with the present and the future. Our biggest problem now for our military has nothing to do with banking, not even the Middle East. It has to do with cyber warfare, which is going on every day now. And a bill was failed in the Senate to support cyber warfare, which we need to support because every minute of every day we're being attacked by countless entities all around the world. I'm not blaming one country, but China is effective in that. And we have not integrated our cyber warfare capacity between the military and the private companies. And I don't know the specifics of the bill, but it failed in the Senate. And here we have a real problem. This is not about suppressing our freedoms or anything else. It's about maintaining the viability of our infrastructures. If we don't address that issue, you can forget the Middle East, you can forget China. Because one electron can take down a hydroelectric capacity all the way from Quebec down to Miami. Those are the issues that you should be addressing.
All right. Well, Doc, listen, I really appreciate you spending the hour with us today. StevePaschenik.com, an interesting perspective. And we really appreciate you taking the time out. And hopefully we can get you back up in the near future. Thank you for your courage exposing 9/11 and your insight on the Middle East. All right, there goes Dr. Steve Paschenik. We're going to come back with Webster Griffin Tarpley and get his view on what's happening. But you just heard Dr. Paschenik saying this backing of Al-Qaeda is really nasty. And I can't believe the CFR would put out an article praising Al-Qaeda, what great fighters they are. I read it on air last night. The article's up at InfoWars.com with links to the CFR. I mean, we're living in la-la land right now. All right, stay with us. More coming up.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. You've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The KTOR hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, 3rd edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. TheraSafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com.